Tonight is the Easter Vigil. As is our custom all these years at this chapel, we speak before this ceremony of the Easter Vigil to explain and to teach the faithful the great importance of all the doctrines surrounding this liturgy and Mass. The stational church used to be St. John Lateran, the central church building, church of the Catholic Church. In fact, that when Mass is offered there, that sets the tone and the action for the entire church all over the world. But because Easter, the feast of our Lord's resurrection, is the greatest of all feasts, it has the greatest of all vigils to prepare for it and to bring home to us in a very vivid and symbolic and sacramental way everything that is needed for us to receive the graces God has destined for us for Easter. Now, there are three primary parts to this Easter Vigil. And for most of us, we've heard this before, we remember it. But I think every time we assist at this vigil and this Mass, we appreciate it more when we hear the words of the priest to explain it. So the first is the lucernarium, the liturgy, the feast of light. And as you know, it begins as soon as our words are over. The whole chapel is cast into darkness, symbolizing the darkness of night out there and the darkness of sin and being without God. And so the fire is begun. And the priest blesses the fire, and then it is sprinkled with holy water and incensed. So it's a holy fire symbolizing the spark of life that animated our Lord, his body, at midnight on the first Feast of the Resurrection almost 2,000 years ago. So the light of Christ dispels the devil, the darkness, and sin. And then the Paschal candle is prepared. Now, as you've heard before, the candle is a symbol of Christ. It's a sacrament, a sacramental, rather. But it's a symbol, relates to the sacrament of the Holy Eucharist. So after the Holy Eucharist, it is the greatest symbol on earth of Christ, because the wax, the beeswax coming from virginal bees, symbolizes our Lord's virginal flesh coming from the Blessed Virgin Mary. And then the wick inside, encased by the wax, is his soul. And then when it is lit with the flame, that symbolizes his divinity. And that candle is inscribed with words that show that God and our Lord, the Son of God, with the Holy Spirit, is all eternal. No beginning, no end in terms of his divinity. But his humanity had a beginning. But that will also be forever. It is part of eternity. And that's what we are meant to be part of, his flesh, risen flesh, so that we can get to heaven. And then the nails which hold a grain of incense. Those are embedded into the candle, symbolizing the five wounds of Christ when he was on the cross. And then the candle is blessed by the priest and incensed. And more than once during the ceremony it is incensed. And the reason is because before the Mass starts, the altar is not kissed. There is no Mass yet. It's all centered on the candle, the Paschal candle. You know, the word Paschal, it means the passage, you're passing over. All prefigured with the chosen people in the Old Testament, the Hebrews. That the angel of death would pass over them because they were faithful to Christ, the Son of God, who was yet to receive his body from the Blessed Virgin Mary. But they were faithful to the law, and so they were not punished. And so the Paschal season is all about passing from death to life, from sin to holiness, from being influenced and dragged down by the devil to being a saint, being subject to our Lord and all the angels and saints. When the priest, as you recall, brings in the candle, he carries it and he intones the words, Lumen Christi, light of Christ. Light of Christ. And as the candle is brought into the church, it's finally brought here. And we express by our genuflections and our answer to the priest how we adore Christ in this symbolic or sacramental object. And we reverence Christ and show our homage to him. And it is, you can see, as the ceremony, the liturgy progresses this evening, the gradual words and expressions and rubrics and actions of the priest and all of you, how it's very somber and dark, and then beginning of joy, and then great joy as the Mass begins. But how fitting it is that all the faithful hold a miniature candle made out of beeswax containing that blessed fire. And you are tied to Christ during this whole ceremony, when you, in a special way, when you hold that lit candle. Then the second major part is the baptismal service. So as you know, we have the four lessons, readings from the Old Testament, which are centered on baptism, in other words, preparing for baptism. And they were sung at this Easter Vigil because they were the conclusion of the lessons or instructions for the converts. Because this night was the day in the church, more than any other time, where catechumens were brought into the church. This is the night of converts. That's why, if possible, whenever we have someone preparing for the faith, that they're baptized this night. And then, because we're the entire church, triumphant, militant, church suffering, all united with our Lord today, the litany of the saints is chanted. Because these, all the saints in heaven, from the saints, the holy souls who went with our Lord when he ascended into heaven. Bless the Mother, St. Joseph, and then St. Stephen, and all the saints for the last 2,000 years are also rejoicing tonight. Because even though they have won their reward, they are still waiting, with the exception of the Blessed Mother and probably St. Joseph, they're waiting for their bodies. So every Easter vigil renews that anticipation and waiting, sort of a holy impatience to finally be one with God, body and soul. So the baptismal water is prepared. We have Easter water, which you all receive afterwards, after the ceremony. And then there's the second part of the litanies. And then finally, the Eucharistic service, the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, which has some changes in terms of some of the prayers are omitted and the ritual goes back to a more ancient form for this night. Now remember, the fact that our Lord rose from the dead, body and soul, that is the central doctrine of our faith. And why is that? Because during Holy Week, the holiest time of the year, it prepares for this night and for Easter Sunday. So we saw on Holy Thursday, our Lord instituting the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass and the priesthood and the Holy Eucharist to prepare Christians for their journey to get to heaven until the end of time. Provisions, spiritual food, the Son of God in the flesh to keep us and sustain us till the moment we die. And then yesterday, Good Friday, in the most vivid and moving rituals and ceremonies, all expressing the great love of Christ, that he gave up his life to make up for his poor, sinful creatures. And already there is some joy, even though the crucifix depicts our Lord's death, to have it seen once again. It's only been a couple of weeks, but it seems like eternity when all the images are covered. Because as Catholics, we love our sacramentals and our statues and crucifixes. They give us consolation. And they give us, when they're blessed, they give us graces from God through the Blessed Virgin Mary. So when we are preparing for all these ceremonies, and I don't mind telling you this, you would not believe the amount of man hours it takes to put on Holy Week. I can't count the hours of all the priests, Father Superior, the other priests, the seminarians, and our very dedicated servers, all helping to put these ceremonies on. But I always love when we take off the violet veil after the Good Friday liturgy, because that's the beginning of this feast. We see Christ, we have our cross back. And that prepares us for the Mass. So it is a day, this Mass tonight, and especially tomorrow, it's a Mass celebrating a huge victory. It's the anniversary of the victory of Christ over death and sin and the devil. And it is the very culmination of our Lord's life. That is why he came. to die for us and to rise from the dead and to take us with him to heaven. And it is believed by some theologians and over the centuries that on this night will be the second coming of Christ. At night, his cross he will be carrying from the east in just a flash of great light to illuminate the entire world. So wouldn't that be a beautiful thing while you are assisting at Mass on this night? How could God turn you away when you are reliving his life in this ceremony? Now, for concluding words, we just want to remind everyone here the purpose of this vigil is not only to recall the events of our Lord's life and to relive them and reenact them liturgically, make them present again, but it is also to express our faith in God, our faith in everything he taught us, and especially in his resurrection. That no matter what the media and the pagans and the false religions say about Christ, we believe and we will not shrink. Now, I remember years ago, I would hear sometimes, and it's every year, the propaganda on all forms of media questioning the resurrection and blaspheming God by their words and their terrible stories about our Lord. Personally, when I heard something, I believe this morning, I just shut it off. I will not even listen. Oh, what are they saying this time? I don't even want to hear it. That should be your attitude. I don't want to hear the lies and the claptrap of enemies. That should be your example. If you hear people attacking, go on the offensive and go after them. And that's, they always back down. Not sometimes, they always back down. Especially the enemies in the Catholic Church who pretend to be Catholic and foist their modernism on us. Because they're the worst enemies, pretending to be faithful but trying to destroy from the inside knowingly. And we will not brook any of that type of opposition here at all. If you recall, just about a month and a half ago, Ash Wednesday, it seems like a long time ago, when we received the mark of death on our foreheads in that sacramental of the ashes to remind us that we are from the earth and we will return to the earth because of a punishment given to Adam for his sin and then for our own sins. Well, now, after all of our Lenten practices are over, they end tonight. Now, it's time to rejoice. But not in the partying atmosphere or behavior of the world. Because for them to party means to commit more sins and get drunk and do all sorts of terrible things. It means to have great joy, but it is measured. Because tomorrow and the next day, we have to keep on our path to heaven. So not to abandon our spiritual works just because Lent is over, but to be more fervent. That's what the saints would do. And to imitate these two beautiful virtues of our Lord that caused the incarnation to occur. Our Lord's obedience to his Father in heaven as the Son of God, and his great love for his Father and his love for us. So it's the loving obedience of a Christian to God is a perfect example, perfect way to get to heaven, to be a saint. Because obedience is not meant to be being forced to do something but still resenting it. Our hearts are meant to be sincere and contrite and good, and not to harbor ill will towards our neighbor. And the two final works that we want to remind you about is just before the Mass begins, there's the renewal of the baptismal promises. That means you're making promises to God in a formal way during these ceremonies, promising to reject sin and bad behavior and the desires of the world and the flesh and the devil. We put those things away once and for all. And then to help us do that is we come and receive the greatest of gifts, the Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament, the body and blood of Jesus Christ. If you take these words to heart, you can do really all things, like St. Paul said, all things in Christ. So the crosses that our Lord sends you, big ones, small ones, day to day, you're able to bear them. And you actually, if you become holy enough, you actually rejoice over them without complaining, because it's God who sends them and permits them to purify you and to have you ask him for help. And so those are our words for this evening. And now we will begin the Easter Vigil ceremonies.